Hello, and welcome to Off Topic Talk, the show where we talk about hobbies, news, entertainment, and other activities, really anything of interest that comes our way. Please visit the website at offtopictalk.blogspot.com. Welcome to Off Topic Talk, show number 7, June 28th, 2006. Today we are going to discuss monkey chow. In the news, we have a brief story about privacy issues. The media suggestion this week is for a phenomenal science fiction short story from the podcast Escape Pod. We'll have a new song for you to enjoy, and we'll close out the show today with another interesting thought. So let's begin. Yes, in the introduction, I said monkey chow. In June of 2006, one Adam Scott, sometimes known as Monkey Boy or the Last Angry Young Man, embarked on an experiment that seemed ludicrous at first glance. Even after further consideration, it still seems rather outlandish. However, there is some deeper meaning to the project. Mr. Scott, in the interest of gaining a deeper understanding into the problem of hunger, as well as looking for a way to cut his food bill and reduce the amount of dishes to wash, put himself through a trial that would test the bravest of people. He ordered a couple of large bags of monkey chow. Monkey chow is a pelletized food product designed primarily for primates in captivity. Monkey chow, according to the packaging, provides a complete balanced diet for the nutrition of primates, including great apes. Well, humans and primates are pretty closely related, so why not give it a go? I'm glossing over the story, as Mr. Scott tells it himself very well in a series of video posts. You'll find the links to those in the show notes. For 7 days straight, he ate monkey chow kibbles as his only food, except for one day where he tries a can of wet monkey food. In the process, he became very hungry because the monkey kibble was very hard to eat. Maybe primate palates aren't as picky as humans, I really don't know. The end result was, he figures humans probably can't survive on monkey kibble over a long period of time. The taste, as he describes it, was hard to describe. Once again, I'll let Mr. Scott tell the story. One of the important things he learned, as he tried to share with everyone who has followed his experiment, is an increased understanding of hunger on a very personal level, and the problems that we have in the world today with hunger. Hunger problems around the world are not a new issue, but in our society it's easy to lose sight of it. Our country produces more food than we can use. So it's not too hard, especially with a McFast food on almost every street corner, to lose sight of the fact that all around the world, there are people who are starving every single day. I'm going to misquote slightly the late, great singer Harry Chapin here. We're fouling up our air, but no one is suffocating. We're polluting our waters, but no one is dying of thirst. We produce enough food to feed everyone on the planet 7 times over. Why are people dying of hunger? Harry Chapin was an instrumental figure in the creation of the 1977 Presidential Commission on World Hunger. During his career, he and his band contributed the proceeds from a significant number of concerts to hunger relief efforts. And maybe in all of this, there's a solution buried somewhere. If not, it's at least an interesting concept to explore. The monkey chow claims to have all the nutritive requirements to provide a healthy diet for primates. The major problem Mr. Scott had was it was very unpalatable. Even when he soaked a piece of it in vodka overnight, it still was not the most enticing thing he'd ever eaten in his life. It must be possible to create a human chow, some kind of human kibble, one that has a taste that humans would at least tolerate. Over the years, the military has produced compact food for troops in the field, and this has been going on for decades. While some people might argue that those foods are not really any more edible than the monkey chow, it's a very subjective matter. I have tried some military food, MREs, or meals ready to eat, in the past, and found some of them surprisingly good. With all the resources available to us, it seems like some form of compact, very nutritious, pelletized, easy to produce, easy to distribute, easy to store food would be feasible. Although, as I think about this, I can't help but thinking about the movie Soylent Green. Nonetheless, the concept must be worth considering. Somewhere, someone hopefully is working on this. World hunger is definitely a problem that we could solve if enough people were to put their heads together.
Smart guests, eclectic topics, really anything is fair game. Join us weekly for an hour on Friday Night Party Line. Search Friday Night Party Line on iTunes or Google, or download direct at http://thade.libsyn.com.
Hey everyone. I've made a slight change in today's show. My original news item was going to be a story about the integrity of some people out there in the world. I found a news item about a U.S. military sergeant and his girlfriend who had come across a winning lottery ticket that had been lost. They didn't keep it or cash it in. They took it to the local police station, and with the police's help, found and returned the ticket to the rightful owner. On top of that, they refused to take a reward, instead suggesting that the winner donate something to a charity. It's still a worthwhile story. I'll still have the link in the show notes, but something came up today that I really wanted to post for people to hear about. AT&T has announced a change in their privacy policy. If you do a Google search for the phrase AT&T changes privacy policy, you'll find a number of news links. The short version of the story is that AT&T has announced that they, not their customers, own the customer's confidential information and can use it to, quote, protect its legitimate business interests, safeguard others, or respond to legal processes, end quote. The policy also says that AT&T will track the viewing habits of customers using its new video service. This is something that cable and satellite providers are prohibited from doing. And the last thing I'm going to mention about this is that AT&T is going to be requiring its customers to agree to the updated privacy policy as a condition for use of their services. There are a number of legal ramifications for people who use AT&T for a variety of services. This just does not sound right to me, especially given that AT&T is being sued over its alleged involvement in some recent wiretapping scandals, which I'm sure if you listen to the news at all, you're aware of what has been going on in recent history. I'm sure that policymakers at AT&T have their reasons for making these decisions, and some of them may be valid business reasons. I don't necessarily agree that these changes are for the best interest of the customer, or that this necessarily guarantees that AT&T continues to look out for the best interests and privacy of its customers. Do a little research. You'll have to make the decision on your own, of course. But I'm thinking that I might be in search of a new phone provider.
The invasion fleet stood on full alert. Admiral Thurlock paced the bridge of his flagship, eye stalks trembling with fury. The door dilated, and Chief Knowledgeist Grimble entered nervously.
"Is it true?" the Admiral growled. "Have the Earthlings destroyed themselves before we could get to them?"
No, sir," said Chief Grimble. "All radio emissions from the Earth did go silent, but it's not because they destroyed themselves. Quite the opposite." He held up a small rectangle of white plastic. "They've been hurling these into space in place of radio waves. It's called an iPod shuffle."
"Great gods," said the Admiral. "Could they have advanced so quickly?"
"They have, sir. We've been analyzing the contents. We've learned that Earth's media dictatorship has fallen, replaced by a free republic of so-called podcasts. Everyone has total free expression, and all their music can be played without a license. They all gather in an alley to elect their leaders. Currently the benevolent Queen Dawn and King Drew in the capital city of Coverville."
"But how?" the Admiral demanded. "Where did they get such ideas?"
"Well, sir, you're not going to like this part. Although they're free, they all bow to a supreme overlord, Adam Curry."
"Curry has conquered another planet?" the Admiral roared. "Damn that galactic rock and roll geek. This is the bitterest pill indeed."
Yes, sir. What should we do, sir?"
"Do? Well, we can't fight them. We'll have to create a podcast of our own and corrupt their regime from within. Get me a computer, a microphone, the cheapest mixer you can find. We will show them that we, too, have audacity."
Yes, sir," said Grimble, backing away slowly. This wasn't going to go well. He wondered if there was time to jump ship. The Wiener Rebellion was still going on in the asteroid belt. Surely they had need for an evil genius.
"And prepare the Votatron!"
Escape Pod, the science fiction podcast magazine. Find us at escape.extraneous.org.
I know I mentioned in the last show I was going to be talking about a set of albums by Lowell Cram and Kevin Godley called Consequences. And then a story came my way that just blew me away, and so I decided to change the media suggestion this week. This time around, I'm going to refer everyone to the website escapepod.org. If you've been listening to podcasts for any amount of time, odds are good you've come across Steve Ely's podcast before. It was the first podcast set up to pay writers for their work. Escape Pod is one of the podcasts that I listen to on a regular basis. Every week it presents a new story, typically science fiction oriented, and they range from the comedic to the disturbing to the just downright fascinating. One of the recent shows, episode 58, the story was called Shadow Boxer, written by Paul D. Filippo. I hope I pronounced that correctly. I've enjoyed Escape Pod stories on a regular basis, but this one was just amazing. I'll read a short quote from the introduction to the story. Generally speaking, I need only 3 minutes of concentrated attention to kill someone by staring at them. If I'm feeling under the weather or my mind is preoccupied with other matters, it might take 5 minutes for my power to have its effect. The concept of the story may not necessarily be incredibly new, but the presentation, the style of writing, the characterization, the whole package, it is one of the best stories I've heard in a very long time. One of the best parts about Escape Pod is that these are all free to listen to, folks. Go to the website, download the show, listen to a story. You get something new pretty much every week. I guarantee you will find something interesting and entertaining there. But go there and check out Shadow Boxer. Go ahead, pause this show, go out and download Shadow Boxer right now. I'm pretty sure you will not be disappointed. Make sure you spend some time checking out the rest of the website. Steve Ely has some really amazing work presented there, and he's doing some really cool stuff in the podcasting world. Check him out. If you have the resources, offer him a little bit of support. You will be supporting aspiring writers all around the globe. Today's music selection is guitarist Jeff Wall playing Kicked in the Head by a Horse from his album Guinevere on the Magnatune record label at magnatune.com. Close the show today, I'm going to talk about the concept of paying it forward. There was a movie made with that phrase as the title. Today I'm going to talk about the concept, not the movie. When someone helps you out, does you a favor or some good deed for your benefit, and you thank them, don't stint on your thanks to whoever helped you. But the important part to remember this is now to go out and help someone else who is in need. I think the concept has entered into public awareness, but it does bear repeating. A very wise teacher of mine once said, "That which goes without saying must be said again and again and again." In the best of all possible worlds, the best thing is to always be helpful and socially responsible. We don't live in that best possible world. In this world, sometimes it's easy to forget, to develop tunnel vision, and lose sight of the people that could use some help. Here is where this idea can really come into play. Someone else's kind act can be a trigger to remind us that there are other people who need our help. This goes beyond helping out a friend. The concept works best when you help out a complete stranger. It's a kind of social virus. You perform a helpful act for someone, they say thanks, you respond with "no need to thank me, just remember to help the next person you see in need. Pay it forward." The phrase is rather cliché now, but the point is the concept is still valid and important. And you might be inspiring someone else to do the same. We all learned the concept of setting a good example when we were young. Let's not forget that concept as we mature. And that will bring us to the close of another episode of Off-Topic Talk. As of this recording, I haven't picked out my subjects for the next discussion, but hopefully they will be interesting, fascinating, exciting, or at least weird enough to attract your attention. Please leave me some feedback at the blog site, offtopictalk.blogspot.com. Send us some email at offtopictalk@gmail.com. You can also leave voicemail at 206-888-5OFF. That's 206-888-5633. I've also added a MyChingo tool to the blog site, so you can leave a short voice message directly from the blog if you happen to have a microphone on your computer. Off Topic Talk is a member of the Blueberry Podcasting Network at blueberry.com. That's blueberry without any E's, BLUBRRY.com. Opening and closing music today was Ministry of Clodagh by AMD26, available at music.podshow.com. Off Topic Talk is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Thank you for listening, everyone. Have a safe journey.